So I'd like to get started first to just read from Isaiah to get us started. We'll pray and then we'll dig in. So this is from Isaiah 45 verses 5 through 6. I am the Lord and there is no other. There's no God besides me. I will gird you through, although you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to look at the theology. We would ask for your gracious help as we consider this. We acknowledge that all truth and all good things come from you, and ask that you would delight us with the knowledge of your will. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so this is what I hope to cover. I'm going to discuss the scope of theological study, a working definition of theology, some theological distinctions, and just what to do with theology. The first question has to do with what Jose had asked earlier, and that is with the topic. I label this Theology 101A and a half. Now, typically in a college course and maybe some seminary courses, a 101 course is considered an introductory course. And so it could be used to as an overview of more advanced topics. That some colleges use a 101A course, and that's particularly set aside for freshmen. Freshmen, you know, are required to have certain basic course that's on there. If you don't have a 101A course, what happens is that other students take the 101 course and there's not enough courses assigned for the freshmen. So they have a 101A course that only freshmen can take. But sometimes a 101A course is also used as a prerequisite course for a 101 course. So you might think of it like in high schools, there's an algebra course and there's a pre-algebra. Some things you need to know about algebra before you take the real algebra course. So sometimes the 101A course is used that way. It also would be an introductory course or an overview course. Some would even call it a survey course. But I'm calling this 101A and a half because you're not going to get an overview of theology in the times that we're going to meet. It's not going to be a survey. We're just going to look at selected theological topics. So you're not getting an introductory course. This is not a prerequisite course. You're getting a half of a sandwich instead of the full sandwich. Therefore, I called it Theology 101A and a half. Does that work for you, Jose? He's muted, so. So I'd like to get started by considering this verse in Matthew 16, 13, where Jesus asked his disciples about, you know, who do the people say that I am? So what I'd like to do is to get some, I'm going to unmute you. I'd like to get some feedback from you on how do people define theology? As you encounter the word theology yourself, or you hear people talk about it, what comes to mind when you hear theology? And I think all of you should be able to unmute yourselves.
I'll break the ice. If you just say theology, I'm going to assume theology proper where you're studying the Father as opposed to studying God in general.
Okay. Let me make a note of that. Okay. What else?
In general, I think of the study of God, Bible, the biblical God, Trinity. However, that word has, I've talked to people that word is very scary.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like as Christians, they just don't need to go there.
Okay.
I'd echo that, Pat. You know, it's theology is a bad word. You know, it means that you're going to end up having arguments and strife and contention and that sort of thing is a view that I've run into.
Okay. Anyone else?
Maybe religion in general.
Okay.
Some people might think that.
Religion. Okay.
So, okay. Is it a belief is what I would say.
Okay.
If you would ask somebody, what's your theology? What's your belief?
Okay.
I have one. I think it might be, it's for the scholars.
Ah, okay, good. Last call for anyone else? What comes to mind when you hear theology? Okay. So, I'm calling this a working definition, if you're not familiar with that description. So it is not my purpose to provide a technical definition, but I do want to look at typically within Christianity, how theology is considered. Some of you may be familiar with that the word it's a compound word, coming from both theos and logos. The theology part of the theo has to do, it relates to God or deities. And the ology, usually it's a study or interest that's in there. So we come up with, you could identify theology as associated with God, but that's using it in a particular context. And that's why I'm calling this a working definition. This is what others have thought about theology. Augustine is calling it a rational discussion, respecting the deity. Strong would call it, and I just picked these particular people. There are others who would give other definitions associated with it. The science of God and of the relations between God and the universe. The Hooker, the science of divine things. And of course, Calvin, would identify that we have a knowledge, and that knowledge consists of two things, a knowledge of God and of ourselves. And this would fit in a description of a theology. I'd like to think of our working definition of theology as thinking of God or reasoning about God or talking of God or speech about God, since the focus of theology, by definition, has to do with God and a study or the science of it because of its suffix. We should think of theology as thinking or speaking about God. But what theology is not, using that definition, the object of it is not man. And also, theology is not restricted to scholars. And theology is also not merely theoretical. Those are common perceptions of theology that we can have. You might have seen descriptions of theology, for instance, feminine theology or black theology, all these other the attempts to contextualize theology in some particular scope. But by definition, theology is not man-focused, but it is God-focused. Now, you can call this a taxonomy, or this is an attempt to kind of break down the scope of theology. You can do this in a couple of ways. I actually have three charts that's on regarding this. So when you think of theology, the two major categories you will see are both natural theology. I keep using my cursor on my computer, but you don't see that. So you would see what's called natural theology and revealed theology. And I'm going to come back to that. I would recommend that you use general revelation instead of natural theology, because I'm taking this from our confession that's describing revelation instead of natural theology. Natural theology attempts to arrive at a knowledge of God apart from revelation. So some would say that there can really be no, if theology indeed is this thinking about God or talking about God, then the source of being able to do that is revealed by God. So how could there be a natural theology where you get to God apart from God revealing himself? So some would say that natural theology is really a misnomer. But some would say that because of this, because of a general revelation, you can get to a knowledge of God. But that is limited, because you cannot get to salvation naturally through natural theology. You can get, obviously, some things that you can understand about God from it, but it's still limited. So I use the term general revelation when thinking of theology instead of natural theology. And revealed theology is theology learned through revelation. So when you look at this diagram, you would typically see it as natural theology and not as general revelation. So I kept the natural theology in here because this is what you might typically see in here. Revealed theology is broken, can be identified in three major areas. Biblical theology, historical theology, and systematic theology. So this would be the next major group, from natural theology or general revelation to revealed theology, and then to this further broken down into biblical theology, historical, and systematic theology. I'm going to give you an opportunity to look at and see if you have any questions before I go any farther. I realize that it looks a little complex, but this is just one way of which to characterize the scope of theology. Now, if you were taking a seminary course, or if you had seminary training, or you've read into theology, you were probably reading in one of these major categories. And although this looks like there is no, that these are really separate, they're actually interconnected. I'm just showing them as though they were separate. Questions so far?
Yes. Can you, in two sentences or less, define what historical theology is?
Okay, good question. And of course, if I get this wrong, Matt, you can feel free to correct me on that. So historical theology talks about God by studying the historical development or the understanding of Christian doctrine within the church. And that's why you see it characterized in here as church history, history of doctorate, history of Christian thought.
Okay.
Does that in any way come close to your thinking, either Bob or Matt?
Take that as a yes.
Yep, that's good.
Okay. Whereas biblical theology here talks about God by drawing its material from the Bible and seeks to be faithful to the divine revelation. And so its focus is within the scriptures themselves. Whereas systematic theology attempts to glean from the whole Bible, and it is particularly seeking to answer particular questions. And so you've seen it broken down into various categories, bibliology, angelology. So what does the entire Bible have to say about man, about angels, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about salvation, about the church? This is the focus of systematic theology. Now, of course, you can't do systematic theology without biblical theology and historical theology. So just think of it that to do one of these, that's the major focus, but you're relying on the others to be able to round out the understanding of that. So, but this is the larger picture, but this is not the only way theology can be characterized. Wait for it. There you go. So you could also characterize it by a particular era or time frame or by viewpoint. Now, what you typically see is the viewpoint one. When you're hearing people speak about theology, they're talking about the theology in some particular type of context. What does Barth's theology looks like? What does liberation theology talk about? What is Catholic theology? What's Calvinistic theology? And so in the marketplace, this is its viewpoint that you're normally hearing about when it comes to theology. And when we saw the breakdown of historical, systematic, and biblical in this structure, that's the focus of theology. And then when it's associated with time periods in particular, you see the patristic, the medieval, reformational, and modern theology. So, and you can make it even simpler. Practical theology, historical, exegetical, and systematic. So when you're looking at theology, the question that has to be asked is, well, what type of theology are you talking about? Or if someone mentions a topic of theology, and if we're going to talk about the doctrine of sin, then you know that it's a systematic presentation of theology. So having some sense of the categories can aid us in identifying what's being communicated. Let me go back one more and just wanted to highlight, particularly when it comes to church history, these particular periods that you could divide church history up into, I guess, larger or smaller categories. But for our purposes, this is probably the easier breakdown to think of it. Whether you're referring to the ancient period as, I don't know if it goes from Christ to about 600 or to 476, the medieval period from about 476 to 1517, and from 1517 to about the 17th century, the Reformation period, and we would be in this modern period. Probably the significance of that is that it is during these, although the roots would go back to medieval period, it's during the modern period that you come up with these. Well, you come with these viewpoint theology. Okay. So, but what do we do with theology? If we say that theology is this, for our working definition, a thinking about God or talking about God, then what do we do with theology? That's my question for you. You can unmute yourself and give me some feedback. What do we do with theology?
Nothing. Use it.
Okay.
Well, theology help us organize our thoughts about God too, if we know how to use it.
Okay. You did mention one thing. You could you did say you could do nothing. What else could you do with theology?
He also said use it, and I think that's important. If you're going to talk about it, you're going to think about it, you have to use theology to study those different aspects.
Okay.
I think you can also study it. I know that Pat mentioned that, but you can study theology.
Okay.
You can share it. You talked about talking about it, so we don't just talk about it to ourselves. We talk about it with others.
Okay.
Well, theology is the study of God. So we continually pursue greater and greater knowledge of God.
Okay. Okay. I think these people, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was, this might fall under study it, but I feel like it could fall in its own category, but also seeing how, you know, studies, theology is such a, you know, broad field, different doctrines, focusing on how those doctrines interact and apply to each other is also a very important thing when studying, you know, theology. Thought I would just make that note as well.
Okay. Good. I would put it in probably three categories. You could just leave it to the theologians. Theology for some is considered a particular calling, a profession. And so we could leave it to those who would call themselves a theologian. Albert Mohler, he would consider himself a theologian. He has the training, he has the experience, and so, okay, that's a theologian. Some who may not have been receive any type of biblical training, but they read in theology almost as if by calling. And so we would rely on those who have been so called. So we could just leave it to them. I think that would be one option. Another is we could kind of store it away like a board game. Sheridan and I have this piece of furniture, and if you lift it open, I don't know, this might be a dozen or two dozen games, boards of various types in there. And those games stay in there unless we have people over at the house and we play a board game, a card game that's on there. And when we're done, we just kind of store it away. That typically happens when we're taught about theology in the church, whether someone is teaching on a particular type of theology. We take notes, we file the notes away until we need it at some time in the future, or we keep it in that binder, put it on the shelf, use only when needed, and then we would pull it off the shelf and say, okay, yeah, that is what that means. Or, of course, today we would just Google it. So we could leave it, our theology, to Google. And when we need to know something about some theological topic, we can just Google it. But that would just kind of storing it away. It's there if we need it. We'll pull it off the shelf. So I think that would be another option. I think the third option could be that we could do theology. What to do with theology? I think we could do theology. But then the question is what does doing theology look like? And I think that's the application for theology. For all those who have a desire to speak about God, to think about God, then they have to do theology. Because theology, from our working definition, is God-focused and not man-focused. And those who would seek to know their Savior, to know their Lord, to know his will and to do his will, then must do theology. So what does that look like? I would suggest that it's a lot simpler than what we think about theology and all of its complexity. I would suggest that doing theology is, let me erase this. Doing theology, I would say, includes hearing the word, hearing it as it's preached. We have the privilege of hearing that on Sundays. It's not limited to Sundays. Many of you hear the word through podcasts, but I think hearing the word is part of doing theology. Because in hearing the word, we have the opportunity to think of God. So I think hearing the word enables us to do theology. I think reading the word is doing theology. Your hearing may be limited just to Sunday or podcasts. Reading the word, now that probably takes a little bit more effort. Some have a annual reading program where they read through the Bible in a year, or read through the Psalms in a year, or read through the New Testament or the Old Testament. But I think reading the Word is part of doing theology. And I think it's safe for me to say that there is no doing theology without reading the Word. This would fall into, if you're looking at categories, biblical theology, but systematic theology required leans on biblical theology, which leans on historical theology. If you're dividing or separating theology into just systematic and historical and biblical theology, it requires reading the Word. No reading of the Word, theology, if it's defined as thinking about God and talking about God, cannot occur outside of reading the Word. So reading the Word is doing theology. But I think something else is part of doing theology. Studying the Word. That looks a little different for each person. We can probably recognize the Sunday school teacher, the deacons, the elders are particularly committed to studying the Word. But studying is not limited to elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers. The method of studying may be different based on the level of understanding the Word, or the level of reading, having read the Word and have heard the Word. Your level of studying will be a little different. But I would think that to do theology, a study of the Word is necessary. I would say that that's foundational to systematic theology, historical theology, biblical theology. So there can't be theology without reading. And the active work of theology has to do with studying. But studying the Word is not limited to theologians. Studying the Word is not just a theoretical exercise. You can see that theology is a practical exercise because it requires studying the Word. I would think there's something else that's part of this doing theology. I would call it memorizing the Word. So if hearing the Word, for those of us who have the little gray cells and don't retain a lot of the hearing, it's a little easier, but it's a bit fleeting as well. Reading the Word, a bit more comprehension involved, but the words are before us and we can actually see it. Whereas in the hearing, it's out there in the vapor. The reading, we have the text. The studying, we may bring in other resources, whether those are people or books. But the memorization of the Word, now we have it in our minds, and then we can ruminate on that. I would think that memorizing the Word is doing theology. So when we encourage the children to memorize the Word, parents are teaching their kids theology. The parents are doing theology by encouraging their children to memorize the Word. They're doing theology. The kids are now involved in theology. But memorization is not limited to kids. Even when you have the little gray cells, memorization is possible. And if you choose to do memorization, you are doing theology. I think there's something else that's part of doing theology. Meditating on the word. Considering the implications from what you have heard or read or studied or have memorized. Meditating on the word, not this Eastern meditation that where you push out what has been in your mind, but this is focused meditation on the word. I think if you have considered or if you are involved in meditating on the word, you are doing theology. And let me consider, I think, one other thing, this last thing. Praying through the word, using the Bible to pray, whether you're using the Psalms or the Proverbs, using that as the means of prayer. I think if you're doing that, you are doing theology. Because in this hearing and reading and studying, memorizing, meditating, and praying, you are thinking about God, thinking and maybe talking about God. Your object is not yourself, but on God's revelation, which gives you a view of who God is, what he has done, what he will do. This is doing theology. And I think this is how we can do theology. Because in this, anyone can participate in theology. What are your thoughts concerning about these things that I've listed?
Can I suggest another one?
Sure.
We also do theology in our conversation with our fellow Christians. When we share what we have in our mind regarding things we have read or meditated about. And sometimes challenging each other, you know, asking questions. What do you think about this? What do you think about that?
Talking about God, and that's part of the our working definition about theology. Theology is thinking about God and talking about God, whether that's in conversation with yourself or with others.
BJ, this probably goes along with what our brother Jose was just saying, and also other things that are here, but practicing the word. You know, some situation I'm in, God's word says this thing, and I actually apply it to that situation and learn to do so with increasing precision, maybe.
Thank you for bringing that up, Daniel. Because the when you're talking about God and thinking about God, you see, it is not just there's this, the application part of that is our participation in that talking about God and thinking about God. Anyone else? What do you think about these items as part of doing theology? Now, this is not intended to be any exhaustive list of doing theology. But if indeed theology has to do with the revealed truth of God, then and God is the object of doing theology, then we are engaged in his revelation. And this is how we can be engaged. Some will be able to participate in doing theology probably in all of these ways. Some are more comfortable in reading than hearing. Some more studying. Others, memorization is easy and not so easy. Meditation, easy, not so easy. Praying, this is not a checkoff list. I don't want you to see this as law. In order for me to do theology, I need to make sure I'm checking all of these off. I want you to see this as theology. Doing theology is not as sophisticated as it's advocated, that you have to take a course in theology in order to understand theology. I want you to see that God has provided the means of grace in his revelation that we can all participate in theology, some to a greater level than others, but those who have been called are actually engaged in theology in some form. Some are better theologians than others, and yet we're all called to do theology.
Vijay, it's not an addition. Whenever we think about studying the word in the context of theology, we think about studying God, the attributes of God, the being of God, you know, all of the things that, you know, our confession contains, the decrees of God, the providence of God. So those are all aspects, or those are all topics in relation to God that we can spend really the rest of our lives discovering more and more about who he is and what he has done and what he is going to do. So and whenever we think about studying the word in the context of the study of God himself, the theology of God, we're talking about an extensive list of concepts and ideas and topics and aspects of who God is.
Yeah. Very much so. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I'm looking at theology from the ground up, if you will. I would say like a top-down approach would be the diagram that I showed you. For instance, you would take a systematic theology course and you would get exposed to certain parts of the theology that's in there. My concern is that we not allow that to be our only view of theology, that we can actually put our feet in the water and it's not as chilled as we thought it was, that we can actually enter this water and find out that, hey, I can do this, or this can be done. Maybe not to the degree of someone else, but that's not the standard in either case. We can all be engaged in theology to some level, to some degree. So that is the I guess you would call my prolegomena, just kind of the introduction to theology 101A and a half. I had to start here because theology has this wide scope, and I want just to narrow it down to say, okay, we can do theology. We can look at the particular parts of theology and not allow our apprehension of the word itself and the scope of it to prevent us from stepping into the water. Mm-hmm. So questions. I'd like to be able to pray and then have us some time for fellowship.
I do have a question. I'm not sure if I sort of missed a step, but we started out by saying the different things that we thought theology was, and it was the study of God. Is there an assumption that is the study of the biblical God? Because then we got to the applications where it was all in the Word, which assumes it's our God. But is theology used to be the study of Buddha? Is it that broad and we narrow it for our beliefs?
Good question. And there's a reason why I use this particular clip art that you see here. In there, you would see Hinduism in there and a bunch of other things, all falling under this category of theology. So I make my presupposition is this, that everyone does theology. Either that will be man-centered or God-centered if you had to put it in taxonomy into two larger categories. So everyone does some type of theology. So our theology in particular is covenantal theology. It's what Protestant, it's evangelical, it's covenantal. So yes, to answer your question, we stand on a particular type of theology. Others would stand on what they think is another foundation. Then you have, well, what kind of response do you have to particular type of topics? And that's where apologetics come in. It's a type of theology that gives a response to those who say, no, this is really the better picture of theology. And says, well, based on what? So is that based on the scriptures or something else? So typically when you're referring to other types of theology, then there's some descriptors associated with it. And that's what I attempted to show by the Barthenian theology, or the scope of theology then is given some type of context or descriptor to associate with it. Whether that's a system of theology, a personal-based theology, for instance, Armenian theology, or apologetic theology, exegetical theology. In that sense, all those have some type of descriptor that's going to tell you what type of theology they're focused on.
And in the doing theology, the doing part is probably the same regardless of your belief. It's whether or not you do that in the Word or not that clarifies our theology.
Yes, and I would say that other forms of theology are using some text of some type. Either they're right. Creating their own, or they've adopted someone else's. But in either case, using the scriptures is not to do theology. We use the scriptures. Someone who's doing some other type of theology, they're using some other type of material to do that. So if you're encountering someone and they say, well, hey, I'm taking a theology course. You say, okay, what type of theology are you taking?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
What's our goal? Nicole?
BJ, can you put the last slide where you wrote what to do with theology? All right. It's a comment and question. Except for praying, all of them, and maybe talking, all of the other points are passive. It's just hearing, reading, you know, inflating our brain with all this knowledge. And then we pray. That's fine. That's practical. Are there other practical things we do with theology?
I have categorized this way. What I didn't want to do is have a this long list of, okay, you need to do this, and you need to do this, you need to do this. I wanted to do these things because show these particular items because I would say that none of these are really passive. Hearing the word, I mean, you can turn on the radio and that the music that plays could be white noise, but if you're actively, took a screenshot, of, didn't intend to do that. But if you're actively listening, then hearing is not passive. If you're reading, reading is not considered passive unless you're just, trying to do, if you're purposely having to read something and then listening to music and doing three other things. But typically reading is not considered passive. Neither is studying, neither is memorization, meditation, or prayer. So these are actually active actions, if you will, that you are performing. They require time. They require effort. They require some a form of discipline.
Got it. It is that a few moments ago, Daniel said something about practical things and just popped into my mind. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And if you wanted to test this, you can always establish a Bible reading program and find out how passive that is or active when you have to make that as part of your schedule, the regular memorization of scripture. Parents who are helping their children memorize even the times table. I know that being an engineer, Jose, you probably already, 12 times 12, 144. You and Gene, you guys can rattle off all those. You probably still know the times table. But your skills of being able to do that wasn't simply you decided to one day look at it for once and then you had it.
Yeah, but in the case of engineering, I used those numbers, those 144 result, and use it. What I was looking at is what effect those doing those things. I agree with you; they're not passive. What I was looking at is what effect does that do to my life? You understand? Studying, hearing, reading, study for the sake of doing it. It's what I meant passive. You know, yeah, I can read, I can study, I can memorize. Then what?
Okay.
Let
me ask you a question this way. What effect does the word have in your life?
Well, it changed my worldview. And everything I do, I try to do it conforming to what the scripture says. Based on, I have been doing that for many years, you know. But it because of that, I have changed how I do things, how I think, but in a way that it's maybe not measurable, but distinguish in my conversation, in the way I do business, in the way I do math or engineering, whatever, you know. And that was my that is what I was asking the first time, you know, practical things.
Yes,
I can mention mine, but just for the to include in that list, you know, what we do with what we learn, you know. Love your neighbor. How do we do that? That's theology too, right?
Yes, that's an application of theology because
okay,
how do you know that you're supposed to love your neighbor? Did you hear that somewhere? You read that somewhere? You see?
Yeah.
So I'm showing this as the presupposition for the way the word is manifested in our lives. And I want to make sure I end in time. So we have 1 minute. What I'd like to do is to pray. And then for those who can stay around for some fellowship, they can do that. I want to be able to honor the time that I've been given here. So let me close us in prayer. And those who can stay around a while, we have the opportunity to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself in such a way that we might know you. And though we will never know you exhaustively, you have granted us a sufficient knowledge. You have granted us a desire that we might know you. It is our desire, Father, to think about you and to talk about you. And whether we call that theology or some other name, we are grateful for your Holy Spirit that grants us such a desire. And I would pray that you would continue to do so for all the days that you have granted us. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.